The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a nutritious smoothie of creamy, fresh yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and a mushy banana for your mind. Drink it all down. It's nummy. I want vanilla. I want vanilla. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
It's that time of the week where we interrupt the otherwise serious program to do a wacky segment we like to call Ask Metaxas. And the reason we like to call it Ask Metaxas is because it is actually named Ask Metaxas.
It is.
People write in questions. That would be you, folks. You write in questions, and I try to answer them. And we want more questions. I think email us at MetaxasTalk.com or EricMetaxas.com. Send in your questions. So, Albin,
yeah.
What have we got?
Oh, boy. The only way it could get wackier is if there was a slide whistle, but we save that for Fun Facts Friday.
Right.
Here's the first question. Yours is the best toupee, Eric. You've got to help Trump out. Just kidding. God bless you.
Okay, technically, and on any other level, that's not a question. Yours is the best toupee. You've got to help Trump out. Just kidding. God bless you. I don't know why this person wrote this, and then I don't understand why whoever on my staff who's in charge of this would put this in as a question. So I guess I'm supposed to just respond to this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've said it many times on the program that early on when I knew I was getting into show business, an old hand in the business said, Eric, trust me on this. Looking to your future in the business, you want to invest, save your money, and invest in a high-quality horsehair wig toupee. Horsehair holds its value, and so I saved up my money, and that's the wig that I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
And wig adhesive is important as well because you need a fixative. Otherwise, the wig slides around, which is itself unprofessional.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you that you think my toupee is the best. Now you don't say whether you can tell it's a toupee. You're not supposed to be able to tell. So it's a real conundrum for me in responding to this. But I just want to say that it's horse hair. Yes, I got to spend time with the horse. We bonded before we killed the horse for its hair and created this toupee, which really is something that I believe one day will be in the Smithsonian.
Good.
That's my goal for the toupee.
Alongside Trump.
Now it says when you've got to help Trump out, I think the implication is that he's wearing a wig. And I wrote a piece about that many years ago, which I can't talk about right now. So why don't we move on to a more substantive question?
Question number two, fish out of water. Your life miracles on last page. Explain snapping turtle in Central Park.
All right. Well, my book, Fish Out of Water, which is coming out in paperback March 7th, with the most happiest looking cover I've ever seen. It's really beautiful.
It is nice, yeah.
The first cover of the hardcover, it's a picture of my dad on the cover, which was taken by my mom when they were dating in 1957, or might have been 58. They went to the Statue of Liberty, and my mother took a picture of my father in front of the Statue of Liberty. It's so beautiful. It's the cover.
Yeah.
But it's coming out in paperback. In any event, the book Fish Out of Water takes me from, you know, my birth up until my 25th birthday when I had this dramatic, miraculous experience of Jesus coming into my life, unannounced. And on the last part of the book, I mention all the things, the miracles that have happened to me since, which I want to write about in the sequel, which I've begun to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them involves a snapping turtle in Central Park.
Yeah.
And that is a story that maybe, and I'm not kidding, Albin, you and I could do a Miracle Monday where I tell some of these stories.
Yeah.
Because it's a complicated story. I can't tell it now. But everything on the last pages of my book, Fish Out of Water, every one of those teases, like I get this happened and that happened, I will tell those stories at some point on the air here, but for sure in this next book, because they are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say miracle, I don't use the word lightly. I don't mean like, well, it could have been a miracle. When you hear the story, either I'm lying or I'm hallucinating or it's a miracle. This is not like, you know, something seems to have been miraculous. But the story that the snapping turtle in Central Park is so insane. It's one of the most insane things that I've ever experienced. And I was like speechless for days.
I can see the sequel. More fish out of water. And there's like 40 fish coming out of
it. Yeah, more fish out of water. No, probably the title of the sequel will be Pastures New, A Life in Miracles, because it's one miracle. You'll see. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, question number three. When will you write another biography?
I don't think I'll ever write another biography. I won't say never, but I don't see it because I've got so many other books that I want to write, including this book that I just referenced, which is a memoir. You know, it's an extension of my autobiography, I guess you could say. So I don't know that I have it in me to write another biography, although I get suggestions all the time.
Yes. Number four, best advice for after high school.
For after high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in the same way that I'm trying to encourage people to do homeschooling, you know, before college, or to do homeschooling instead of public school, or to do even before classical Christian school, homeschooling I think is really important. Similarly, I would say to people, I don't know the value of a college education anymore. I don't think it has any much value at all, really, except it's kind of a piece of paper. It's a credential. And I think that you have to be very careful about spending your parents' money. I don't know that it's worth going to college.
Yeah.
And I say that seriously. There are very few places that I would say, yes, I would send my kid there at this point. So best advice for after high school. Well, I don't know. I think travel probably is a good one, to see what life is like outside the United States, so you have some sense of what it is that we have here in the United States. Make a habit of reading and exercising. There's so much to say on that. Yeah. I know we have other questions. Sorry.
I know. See, I went to college, graduated from Clarion State College in medieval puppetry. And look where I ended up.
You now you're a graduate teacher teaching at the graduate level in medieval puppetry. That's kind of what
happened.
Number
five, I just read Is Atheism Dead? What inspired you to write it, and anything you'd like to add since its publication?
Well, what inspired me to write it, I mentioned on yesterday's show, was meeting Dr. James Tour.
Yeah.
We interviewed him at Socrates in the City. It just went live. What's today? Thursday. So it went live 2 days ago. If you go to the YouTube channel for Socrates in the City or sign up for the Socrates in the City videos, which I hope you will, just go to Socrates in the City and sign up for the emails. But he inspired me because he told me about how he knows that life did not emerge randomly, as we've all been told and as everybody is being told on the high school, college, and graduate level. That's not true, at least the evidence is dramatically pointing to the fact that could not have happened. And when I understood this idea, I said, we got to tell the world about this. So that's when I said, I've got to write Is Atheism Dead? I've got to tell the world about that. And then I met a guy who talked to me about discovering biblical Sodom and biblical archaeology. And I said, I got to tell the world about that. So those two men, Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. James Tour, really inspired me to get the word out about their two astonishing stories, and then about all the other stuff. And so this person says, would I add stuff to publishing it? Yeah, I'll probably write a sequel because more stuff comes out all the time.
Number six, do you still get nervous talking in front of people?
Not really, but I used to for sure. And the more I have done it, the more comfortable I've become. Maybe I'm already too comfortable. But I have to say that, no, I enjoy it usually. But I used to really, you know, until you do something very often, but I hadn't done it years ago, and I'm very self-conscious. So, okay.
Last quick question. Hey, snappy dresser, Argyle or polka dots?
I've never been an Argyle guy. Now, when they say Argyle, Argyle socks, I guess we're talking about socks. Mm. So, yeah, I'm not particularly an Argyle guy. Neither am I a polka dot guy in terms of socks. So I'm not sure what the question is. I tend to wear polka dots on my ties.
Yes.
And I think we're out of time. Thank you very much for these almost excellent questions. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Hey, folks, welcome back. I am thrilled to have as my guest Naomi Wolf. Naomi, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. It's so great to be speaking with you again.
Many people are difficult to sum up. I will remind people that you and I were in the same class at Yale, class of, I think I was in the class of 84, but that couldn't be. That would make us way older than we know that we are. But we were in the same class at Yale. You are now the author of many, many best-selling books, including most recently and unfortunately, most importantly, The Bodies of Others, which we've discussed. You're the CEO of Daily Clout. I want to talk to you about everything that you're talking about, Substack and wherever you're writing, and but probably maybe start with something that you wrote about not very long ago, that you you visited Yale University and experienced the weirdness of that. I don't know. Can you frame that for my audience, what happened that day?
Sure. So, Yale University has mandated on its poor students that they must, even if they've had COVID, even if they have had the first and second mRNA injection, that they must have a booster, the same booster that was tested on 8 mice prior to returning to campus for spring semester. And the deadline is this month, the 31st.
So, okay, so I have to say, if that were my kid, there is no way I would let them get those injections so they could attend, quote unquote, Yale University. But you're telling me they are mandating this. It is just unbelievable, especially now that even the mainstream media is beginning to report on the adverse effects, like death is reasonably adverse, of these injections.
Right. It's even more grotesque than that. Eric, they are not mandating the administration, including the president, and they're not mandating the professors, the faculty. And so these are populations that are arguably, you know, more vulnerable to COVID, if that's even a thing anymore.
Arguably. I mean, it's pretty obvious. What conceivable reason could they give for mandating this for young, healthy people and not for the administration? I mean, I really don't get at all.
So I'll skip to the conclusion of that, because unfortunately I know after I went to Yale to give a speech basically disclosing everything I knew from this project of 3,500 experts who are overseeing a daily cloud, who are reading through the Pfizer documents, and they've produced 51 reports. And so I was kind of giving the headlines of the damage that Yale was going to do for sure to some of the young women in terms of their fertility, to some of the young men and young women in terms of heart damage and other horrific side effects. When I came home, I did some research, and my husband, Brian O'Shea, who's a private investigator, also did research and found why. Basically, the Chinese Communist Party has managed to buy up Ivy League universities and pump money into them in such a way as to be able to jeopardize, injure, and harm the children of America's elite. And this is what I mean. HHS gives more money to Yale than they get from tuition. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
our government, HHS, gives more money to Yale than they get from tuition?
Correct. And there's a $34 million Pfizer facility in New Haven under the aegis of Yale, in which they've got like dozens of beds, and they're engaging in kind of not publicly disclosed experiments there as well. But literally, it's 40% more money from HHS, including millions that we located for COVID mitigation, you know, emergency COVID treatments for undergraduates. Took you to a dead link on the Yale website. But the total of HHS money and Bill and Melinda Gates money is more than the total of tuition. It's less than the endowment, but it's more than tuition. So basically, Yale, the argument I made both in my speech and then having looked up Connecticut law and federal law about human trafficking in my Substack about Yale, is that Yale is trafficking its students' bodies, because trafficking is, it doesn't have to be sexual. You don't have to transport people. It's coercing or defrauding people to do something to provide goods or services that they wouldn't otherwise provide if by law, that they have the legal right to deny. And that's exactly what Yale is doing. It's providing the bodies of its students for pharma, for HHS. And I'm also going to mention, again, the Chinese Communist Party, because if you look at the money flows from the CCP to universities in the Ivy League, notably Princeton and Penn, and look at the Biden-Penn Center, right? Then you've also got our existential adversaries basically buying influence with the universities and directing university policy, not necessarily in the interest of America's young adults. And again, notably, why are the Ivies mandating these as opposed to so many state universities that have dropped the mandates? And I really do believe it's part of the bigger picture I've spoken about for many months of this is a bioweapon, this is an attack, we're under attack from the Chinese Communist Party and this kind of globalist cabal that wants to break America. And one way you break America is by, you know, preoccupying the elite with the illness and infertility and heart damage of their own children.
Naomi, this is it's just so difficult, if not impossible, to process what we're discussing. This is, you know, again, I always have to leap to the word evil. How else do you where do you begin to describe this? I mean, a crook stealing so he can get money, I can understand that. I can say it's wrong, but there are levels of nefariousness. And what we're talking about here is so dark that it doesn't seem humanly comprehensible, really, when we're talking about the various levels, the interplay, especially when you're dealing with globalist elites, people that are that have everything most of the world couldn't dream of having, that they would be orchestrating these kinds of things or looking the other way while their friend orchestrates it. The idea that China would have that kind of influence in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. What do you see coming out of this? Because you're right in the middle of it.
Well, you're right that every day when a new layer of this is revealed, I have the same struggle you do that you've just described. And I literally was just on another podcast and the other podcaster basically brought me the same question. How do we wrap our minds around this? How do we even process it? It's, you know, as the details of this catastrophe, you know, lurch into view, we have to accept that all of our major institutions got corrupted and bought off and went along with absolutely existential evil, did it, perpetrated it. I mean, one of the headlines in the Pfizer documents reports, and I did want to mention it's a big week for us because we've just published them as a book on our website as a PDF. So the whole crime is in one place.
And what's that website?
DailyClout.io.
DailyClout.io. Clout with a T. Yeah, clout. DailyClout.io. Go ahead.
Correct. But when you see all of these reports in one place, and especially, and you and I have talked about this, the 360-degree attack on human reproduction, in our most recent report by Dr. Robert Chandler that shows that there's a 20% drop in live births worldwide. Many people looking at government data are reaching the same conclusions. And in our Pfizer documents reports, we show the mechanism that basically very briefly to recap, these lipid nanoparticles traverse the placenta, they accumulate in the ovaries, they damage the testes of unborn baby boys, and they also infiltrate the breast milk. So it's like this complete, and even in the Pfizer documents, 85% of the pregnancies were lost, spontaneous abortion and miscarriage. So the point is, in the Pfizer documents, this is all fully intended. These experiments were fully directed at the reproductive capacity of the human species. There's no other conclusion. They would sacrifice the rats. This is supposed to be for a respiratory virus and analyze their reproductive organ cells, right? They have in the Pfizer documents 20 different names for ruining your menstrual cycle. Like they knew perfectly well that this was going to lead to a suppression of human ability to reproduce. And Rochelle Walensky knew, and the head of the FDA knew, and the White House knew. There's no way around that. It's not even, I'm not interpreting. It's right there in the Pfizer documents. But going back to your question about evil, and then, you know, you see these institutions like the American Colleges of Obstetrics and Gynecology took millions of dollars from Pfizer, you know, to engage in something they never do, which is encourage pregnant women to take this vaccine.
Hang on a second, Naomi, because there's so much here. We're going to go to a break. Folks, why would even say don't go away? Why would you? We'll be right back. Money. He makes a lot to say. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever and just in time for Christmas. For a limited time, get the Giza Dream Bed Sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. Wow. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Welcome back. I'm talking to Naomi Wolf, CEO of DailyClout.io, author of The Bodies of Others. Naomi, before you continue the line of thought, so somebody guessing, listening, half listening, it sounds like the global elites who are behind this are convinced that it would be a good thing if we had fewer people living on planet Earth, and this is a great way to accomplish that. Let's do it. That to me seems like the most simple way of understanding this.
Yeah, I would add two more pieces to that very disturbingly. Of the 42,000 plus adverse events, 36,000 are in the United States. The other largest tranche are Western Europe in order of political importance, Great Britain, then Germany, France, Italy, Greece, Spain. And the final tranche, only 7,000 adverse events, are from the whole rest of the world combined, meaning that the global elites don't just want to reduce the population randomly. They want to reduce population in the West and Western Europe.
But isn't this a little bit like, you know, when in the French Revolution and in the various communist revolution, they kill the smart people, they kill the priests, they kill the leaders, the intellectuals. That's really sick. But they do it for power because they think we want to wipe out the people who are capable of coming against us, people like Naomi Wolf. We don't want them to give us trouble. We want compliant people, people who don't have the ability to come against us.
Right. Well, exactly. And I was just going to also say they want to avoid paying out of non-existent treasuries retirements. And so they're also killing off the elderly. I mean, the remdesivir protocols, you know, in hospitals, basically the euthanasia program in Canada, kill off the sick, kill off the elderly. And lastly, they want, you know, to your point, look who they mandated. And I've made this point before, but now that we've really seen the horror of the full picture in the Pfizer documents, it really, we have to look at it. As you say, who got mandated? Our soldiers, our sailors, our first responders, our healthcare workers, you know, doctors are dropping like flies in Canada. You know, I think 100 doctors have died, healthy young doctors have died in Canada. You know, local in Austria, there have been, I believe, 50 mayors who have died.
I mean, if you were saying nothing else, 100 healthy young doctors have died in Canada. If nothing else were on the table, that is headline news. Nobody's covering that.
It should be. And then to bring the circle of evil, you know, completely around so people see, really understand how non-random this is. My research also found that you can, and this is why the vaccine passports are so dangerous, right? Because now they can do this like with digital precision. You can make an injection more and less lethal based on room temperature, as well as dosage. For instance, the Moderna active ingredients are 3+ times more extensive than those in Pfizer. And within the Pfizer documents, they drop that level, 100 micrograms, due to its reactogenicity. So just give people, you know, the the 100 micrograms instead of 30 micrograms, you will have more lethality. You will have more disability. There's a study that shows that the first injection causes some heart damage. The second injection causes catastrophic heart swelling in a rat study out of Hong Kong in 2021. To me, this is clearly a blueprint for, you know, this being a bioweapon, because the more you inject, again, these lipid nanoparticles don't leave the body. The spike proteins don't leave the body. From everything we've seen, you're accumulating and accumulating what's damaging. So over time, if you mandate more and more boosters, more and more injections, you're going to get more and more lethality. But I guess where I was going with people being, you know, the precision nature of being able to take, have an adversary take out the leaders, the children of the elite, the soldiers, the sailors. You know, my research found that China, as I mentioned, has created an MOU with Pfizer, and now they've opened manufacturing plants all over Western Europe and two in the United States. And the IP got transferred to China per the SEC filing in 2021. So now you've got, with vaccine passports and the breaking down of HIPAA, our existential adversary that makes war on its own people, organ harvests and forces abortions on its own people, able with precision to say, okay, this batch to this person, this batch to this person, this brand to this person. And therefore the lineaments of a bioweapon are complete. But as you know, it's not just China, it's these global elites. And now in the short time we have together, I do want to return to your existential question, which we have to talk about, and you're the guy I talk about it with, whom I talk about it a lot, which is, and I have to notice that a lot of people are returning to this, you know, this question of evil. How could this happen, right? That it's not just a war by new means. It's a level of evil that, you know, as I've said before, with you, to you, is beyond human capability. Well, I've given more thought to that, and I'll wade into that if you want me to, because I think we have to.
Well, we only have 30 seconds in this segment, so say a little bit and then we'll continue for sure.
Well, I'm beginning to think that there is really something to the biblical covenant, you know, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, and that God wasn't joking. And that there really is, and I'm, you know, like fully secularly trained, but I'm beginning to think there really is something about, we abandon God, God doesn't protect us, and then these dark forces rush in.
I think that is as true as 1 + 1 = 2. It is fact. It's more than fact. It's baked into the reality of this universe. We'll be right back.
Get up out of the past.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. She is the author most recently of The Bodies of Others. So, Naomi, let's wade into this, because, you know, you and I, when we were in college, we were, you know, standard level secularists, you know, that we've been kind of trained to process the universe along secular lines, which ultimately, I think, becomes impossible, but that won't stop most people from trying very hard. But you're saying that as you've looked into this, and you, as much or more than anyone, has really looked into what we're dealing with, and it's hard, if you're honest, to escape the idea that there's something here that's more than meets the eye, literally, is something here that's more than can be explainable by natural processes. That's where you were just going.
Yeah. I mean, this is so hard to talk about, but I know that we have to. You just used the phrase baked into the universe, that, you know, I'm so sorry,
unknown,
that if we abandon God, we lose the protection of God, and that's baked into the universe. You have been brave enough in your own writing, which I really appreciate, to have described a kind of metaphysical experience you had of the divine, right? An encounter with the divine.
Yeah, actually many, you know, and you kind of get to a point where you're like, hey, what am I supposed to do? Like, I know I'm not crazy. I'll do my best to communicate this, knowing that many people will just be hostile. But go ahead. Yeah.
Well, you're really giving me a comfort level that I need, because you're, you know, in our culture, which is stupid, right? If you have an experience of the divine or the metaphysical, it means you're crazy, or it means you're uneducated or superstitious. Well, I haven't talked about it, and I will shortly, but I've had a similar experience, or not identical to yours, but similar, that leads me to be certain that there is no such thing as lying. There's no such thing as cheating. There's no such thing as stealing, because the imprint of our being out of alignment with grace, right? It exists in the universe. It doesn't go away. We can't wish it away, right? And so we create the world of darkness by deeds of darkness for ourselves, right? By the same token, when we stay aligned with kind of the grace that the universe wants us to inhabit, you know, we create blessings, we generate blessings, we're in alignment with blessings. But drilling down further, you know, as I've said before, there is no way to understand the capture of the whole world's principalities and powers by universal forms of genocidal thought, right? In human terms alone, this is not like normal history. In normal history, there are factions, there are egos, people betray each other, you know, people sell out to the Allies. It just doesn't proceed in this lockstep. And I keep thinking of that, you know, scene in the New Testament where Jesus casts out demons and the demon says, "My name is Legion," right? That sense of like things happening all around the world that are in a kind of creepy, non-divine way, identical, you know, and proliferating in a kind of life force that's not life, right? That's like anti-life.
When you say life force, the way I would put it, I think, is that we're dealing with personalities. These are not simply forces. These seem to be personalities. And so in the same way that I would say God is a person who has made us in his image as persons, he's not just an energy force. Similarly, when we're talking about personal evil, and I mean, I remember for me, it was reading M. Scott Peck's book. He was a Harvard psychiatrist who wrote a book called People of the Lie. And that was the first time I remember when I encountered somebody of that stature dealing with this concept of evil, not just bad or problematic, but actually evil, which is – anyway, so please continue. Yeah.
Well, I think you're adding to – you know, dimension to what I'm struggling to say, and language is not appropriate or sufficient for it. But basically, I keep going back to like, how could this happen? How could this happen? I keep going back to the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, you know, which I've been noticing and looking at people's faith traditions in America and Western Europe, kind of no one reads the Bible, right? Like there's a lot of like praying and hymn singing. And I'm not singling out any one religion, but in organized religion, notably, we're really not in Judaism, not in Christianity. We're rarely told, you know, go sit and read the Bible, go read it, right? Read the primary source kind of blueprint for what we're supposed to
do. Of course, there are many churches of which I'm aware that do read the Bible. But the point is, over time, they have become increasingly uncomfortable with parts of it, so they want to turn it into metaphor or just kind of back away and say, well, we'll deal with what we think the gist of it says, but we don't want to actually go there because it's embarrassing, you know, to the people that I had lunch with yesterday. I want to talk about that.
And it's tough, right? And it's tough. And there's a reason I'm going back to this. I'm not criticizing any religion. Let me just take my own faith tradition, right? I'm Jewish. And when we do, you know, we do read sections of the Torah. Orthodox Jews definitely read the Torah. But for me as a conservative Jew, right, most of the focus was on on our kind of ethnic and cultural heritage, right? And not on the Ten Commandments, because those are hard, right? That, you know, monotheism is hard. Like, living the way God wants us to live is not like, oh, I sacrificed a goat, or, you know, oh, I baptized my child. It's like every single day making the right choices, even though they're really hard. That, so point is, going back to the Old and New Testaments, the covenant is very clear in the Old Testament, and it's not about you're my chosen people ethnically. God clearly says, if you, you know, walk with me, have a relationship with me, you know, take care of the orphan, look after the widow, do justice, love mercy, then you will be my people. And then I will bless you. Then I will, you know, you can live in this land in peace. You can have the vine, you can have the fig tree, milk and honey, you know, everyone will live in his own place and not be afraid. I mean, all the beautiful promises are conditional. And then Jesus came, and that's awesome. And we can talk about that another time after I've brought you up to date with that part of my journey. But the point is, I find that Jesus was very clear that it's not like, here I am, that's the end, I've taken care of everything, I've redeemed you all, you know, happy ending. And again, Christians, don't get mad at me. I am a humble Jewess just trying to understand what's going on. He clearly said, it's not over. You have to keep doing right. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. Some people will be cast into, like,
hey, this is getting way too religious for me. We're going to have to go to a break. I got to process this. We'll be right back talking to Naomi Wolf. Talking to Naomi Wolf about important things. So, Naomi, you were just saying that when Jesus comes into the world, he doesn't just say, okay, we're done, let's wrap it up. As a Christian, it seems clear to me that he says, I am the fulfillment of the law. I didn't come here to wipe it out. I came here to show you what my Father expects of you. So this is not right. Just pro forma stuff, do some religious stuff and you're good. It's your whole life. But where were you going with that? Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Because I really want to stress, I'm very tentative and apprehensive. I don't mean to instruct Christians in any way. I'm just humbly trying to understand. But yes, as I understand him as a, you know, I don't mean to speak for Christians, but to me, he's the fulfillment of what Judaism is supposed to be. And I don't fully understand why everyone from my faith tradition is so close to that. Another conversation. Point is, he's clearly saying, you know, I'm asking you, God is asking you to live out the kingdom of heaven in how you treat each other. Like, the ultimate law is love, and I'm showing you how to do it, right? But I'm inviting you and asking you and expecting you to take action in certain very clear ways to manifest God's kingdom on earth. That's how I read it. Point being, for 2,000 years, for 4,000 years if you date from monotheism, 2,000 years if you date from the birth of Jesus, the West has, with many failings, many shortcomings, the Crusades were bad, the Holocaust was bad, so many shortcomings. Nonetheless, the West had a commitment to a covenant with the Judeo-Christian agreement with God, however you define God. And many places and institutions were consecrated to that idea in the West, you know, whether it was literally in California, you know, all the places, Santa Barbara, San Jose, San Rafael, named for saints, whether it was, you know, all over Western Europe, the building of cathedrals and nunneries where there had been pagan places of worship, or in Judaism, the kind of recommitting to Yahweh after people constantly, and my people kept, you know, whoring after Baal, whoring after, you know, Asherah. There was an overt directedness toward, okay, we are going to try. We fail, we mess up. We're going to try to follow Yahweh. We're going to try to follow the Ten Commandments. And then we're going to try to follow Jesus. We're going to try to follow, you know, to respect Mary, whatever manifestation, you know, you as a Christian or as a Jew take of the Judeo-Christian promise. There was a devotion to it even when our institutions were secularized. And what I mean is, when you have an orphanage that doesn't traffic kids, even if it's no longer a Christian orphanage, those are Judeo-Christian ideals. When you have a justice system that tries to give impartial justice, even if it's no longer devoted with the Ten Commandments over the door, it's still a Judeo-Christian institution. Well, so we benefited, right? Over the even with the secularization of our society, that promise, that Judeo-Christian promise, undergirded everything. Well, I kind of feel like since 2020, you know, slowly, we've been just giving up on our part of the covenant, you know, just giving up on it and thinking it's not going to matter. God doesn't really need us. We don't really need God. We're fine. We have all our material possessions, you know, and then we worship technology, we worship science. And I sort of feel like in 2020, God sort of said, okay, you want to do it yourselves. I'll step back.
This is, well, we're going to drag you across the border into hour two, and we will continue the conversation. Folks, I'm talking to Naomi Wolf. Don't go away.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.